that. The trolls looked over as Steve threw four grenades into their midst. The trolls caught them or juggled them, confused. Lightning, fire, and frost leaped out of the grenades, removing half of the trolls. Steve couldn't stop laughing.
Did you see that?
Steve stopped moving forward and slapped his thigh.
They were all like hot potato juggling them. Oh, fuck. I think I might break a rune.
Oh, stay down, will you?
Dwayne stabbed the troll that had been mostly torn apart.
This is Sparta!
Watch out, Dwayne! Essie yelled.
Dwayne flattened himself as a confused-looking troll flew over him.
Damn it, Steve! Let me know the next time you're going to punt a troll!
Sorry, dude. Got all excited.
Steve had a grin plastered on his face as he stepped up beside Dwayne. There were only a handful of the trolls left. The Stone Raiders finished off the remaining trolls, all of them grouping together.
Scout Guardians, go out and see what else is hiding here.
Send back one as soon as you find any more hostiles, Dwayne said. The Scout Guardian automatons appeared before disappearing, headed through the partially cleared housing complex.
Let's pull back for now. We've cleared out an area for the rest of the guild to come through. We don't want to antagonize the other beasts that are here, Dwayne said.
I friggin' hate spiders,
Essa shuddered.
Why can't we just burn them out?
Steve asked. We got some of the guardians to try to clear out this place one time. The webs are pretty resilient. We can burn it away, but it shrinks rather than disappearing altogether. It also alerts the spiders. They'll track down the disturbance and destroy whatever came into its domain. We found out that when the webs shrink, they become conductive. If we can get to the middle of the nest, we're hoping to burn the spider webs and then feed a ton of lightning into the web to zap the bastards. We have to be in the center or else it won't work, Dwayne said.
When they cut the webs, didn't spiders descend on them in just a few minutes?
Essa asked.
Yeah, which is why we're bringing so much of the guild. We need to get into the center as quick as possible.
Then we zap them from the middle out and start preparing for the college.
It sounds like it should be easy, but why is it that I know it's not going to be?
Steve said, as if mulling over the question.
Because nothing ever goes as planned,
Essa chimed in. Dwayne just grunted, agreeing with his two friends. Dave's breathing was heavy as he circled Anna. She had returned the night before. After getting some sleep, she'd tracked down the rest of the party to the training area. Dia had been mobbed by people wanting to know more about the quiver and where she had bought it from, so Anna took it upon herself to train Dave.
You should just ask him out. Would hurt a lot less.
Well, for me at least. Dave blocked a screaming wind blade with his shield and came in close with his sword. She caught the blade with her own, moving to kick his knee. He shifted his stance, pushing her out and to the side. His sword and shield came together, forming into a great sword as he swung at her, making her hastily throw her own blade up to defend herself.
What the hell are you talking about?
Anna asked.
I'll cow,
Dave said, defending against a flurry of attacks.
What are you talking about?
Well, you like him, right?
I don't know why you haven't asked him out yet.
Has he asked you out yet?
Dave was rewarded by a slight whistling sound. Dave saw several blue markers, his perception picking up Anna's wind blades as he dodged, trying to fight them back and keep Anna pinned back at the same time. He was breathing heavier as he stared at her, holding his own blade.
We both have our positions. It would not make sense if we were to go out with each other. Things are not that simple.
They are that simple if you stop trying to complicate them.
You ask him.
If he says yes or no, you can at least know, and you can go from there.
Dave smiled. Anna charged in, beating back his defenses. He fought well, but his blade was conjured. It wasn't mithril like hers. She cut through it as Dave edged away. She moved to attack him again, finding a gash on her side and his blade next to her gut. She let out a snort and shook her head.
I think I'll take that as a win.
You've become faster at remaking your conjured items.
I have no doubt that you would have been able to recreate your blade through my stomach if you wished. What are your affinities now?
Avoiding the subject much? Dave pulled up his affinities. Affinity levels. Dark, 237. Light, 173. Fire, 193. Water, 142. Earth, 213. Air, 139.
No avoiding anything if there is nothing there, Anna shot back, as she looked over the information and shook her head. You know that every time I see your stats, I feel a little chill run down my spine. Cause he's annoying as hell? Susie asked from where she was fighting in Duca and Malsor with her creations. They were the only things that were willing to go up against the two. They could actually use all of their powers and not try to hold back. Even against the players, they were too strong and took them out too quickly for it to be much in the way of training. Dia was the only person who could kind of go toe-to-toe. And Steve was a metal punching bag. He couldn't land a hit on them, though he could take one hell of a pounding.
Malsor, she's not paying attention, Dave said.
Shadows seemed to spawn around Susie.
Dick,
Susie said. Air creations clapped over her like some invisible armor, making her fly away from the shadows as she threw out a fire creation, bringing light and destroying any shadows that Malsor might use to launch an attack.
Why don't you fight in Duca and Malsor? Dave asked Anna.
What makes you think that I could fight them? Anna raised her eyebrow.
You are hailed as the famed Captain of the Wind? You made the Beastkin what they are, and scared the ever-living shit out of anyone who came to annoy you and your people. You've been around a while, and I know my blades. I didn't make that thing weak, and I can see that you're still handicapping yourself.
Seems that someone is learning. Anna snorted and dismissed the affinity levels.
The reason is because it is always good to hold something back. With Malsor and Induka, their true strength is hidden. What do I learn from fighting with all I have? I defeat my enemies fast, yes, but I don't learn anything new.
I was wondering why you reversed the buffs on your armor, Dave said.
What were you looking at my armor for?
Well, I want everyone to have the best weapons and armor possible. I didn't know how to ask why you ruined my beautiful magical circuits and input your own crude code.
It wasn't crude code.
Anna frowned.
It was workable, but it wasn't elegant.
And the power wastage is annoying me to high hell.
Can I at least put in a switch so that it can suppress you, and then if you need it, you can turn it off or up the amount of power you have?
You can do that? Anna asked.
Sure.
Though I'm making Dia's twin swords first. Then the other's rings. Dave scratched his head, thinking of the other projects that he had in mind.
There just never seems to be enough time in a day or in a lifetime for all these plans.
Okay. That would be useful, Anna grumbled.
Good.
And as a thank you, you can go and ask Alcal out.
See what the big bad demon dude says.
Dave's goofy smile made Anna chuckle.
Okay, if it gets you to stop pestering me, then I will.
Woohoo! Susie, you owe me $20.
What?
Susie looked to Dave and got hit in the side by a fire elemental that Induka had taken control of. It hit Susie's mana barrier and sent her flying across the training area.
Made you look.
Dave laughed as her air creations brought her back up into the air. Induka fired all manner of fire attacks at her.
What did you win?
Dia asked, coming up behind Dave.
If I didn't have touch of the land going all the time, I might have just put a hole in the roof, Dave muttered, turning to Dia, who had a pleased smile on her face.
I just got Anna to agree to ask Alcao if he likes her, and then onto a date if he says yes.
I knew I made the right choice when I made you my fiancé.
So, when is your next trip to the Devil's Crater?
I know that Malsor and Induka would be happy to take you there if you desire.
Dia's smile was predatory, as Anna, for once, was the prey.
Would we ever? Save my damn back from having to carry her to Devil's Crater so she can just stand there and pretend to study the craters instead of Alcao. If she looked sideways any more, I would think that she was more rabbit than human and wolf, Malsor said.
getting an annoyed glare from Anna.
I do not pretend to look at the Devil's Crater. Well, you face it while your eyes are running all over Al-Kau,
Induka chirped in, still fighting Susie. The two of them flew through the air, using their powers to go head-to-head with each other.
Well, hate to break this little meeting up, but we've got word from Dwayne. The first area is cleared in the housing complex. We're about ready to move the other fighting parties in and take on the spiders.
Jules tried valiantly to hide her shiver, and failed horribly.
What is it with fantasy worlds and spiders? Dave groaned.
It's pretty cliche, Susie agreed. She and Induka gave up their fight as they lowered themselves down toward the rest of the party.
Don't understand what is so bad about them, though. Just spiders.
Dave shrugged and looked to Dia. She just smiled and pat his back.
Why do I feel like I'm missing something?
Dave leaned toward her.
They're just spiders.
Dia continued to smile. Anna, Induka, and Malsor had either a smile or an uncomfortable look on their faces. Dia elbowed Dave and gave him a look.
Fine. We can go hunting, my dearest firecracker.
Dave smiled. Dia rolled her eyes and looked away as the corners of her mouth twitched upward.
Hey, you lot! Heard that we're going spider hunting,
Locke said, approaching the group, a wide grin visible through his braided beard, Gurren at his side. Chapter 8 Housing Complex.
So, we found out two things. First, the spiders are really adaptive. Once they are hit with one kind of magical attack, then they adapt outward and become resistant to it. Melee fighting will still tear them apart, though melee fighting isn't going to deal with the hordes that we're going to be facing.
Josh looked out over the assembled stone raiders within the tower that they had turned into their base.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be fun, Jason said.
Dude, you're a necro. How do spiders weird you out?
Steve asked.
It's not the spiders. It's being swarmed by the little bastards.
Have you never played any zombie horde games? Dave asked.
Well, sure, though I'm usually running away and screaming like a little girl.
Steve and Dave shared a look. Why the hell are you a necro? Dave asked.
Well, 'cause I want to make my enemies run away and scream like little girls. And they'll also put a barrier between me and any hordes.
Jason looked at them as if the answer was obvious. Susie leaned over to Dave.
I know that there have been a lot of people saying that the Stone Raiders are weird. I never really paid them all that much attention until now.
It's perfectly natural. Use what you hate the most to fight your enemies.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Steve gently patted Jason's shoulder.
We're going to be targeting the spider webs. We've found that once you set fire to the webs, then they change into a highly conductive material. Once we've got it in this state, we can electrify it.
Josh ignored the Stone Raiders' byplay.
How are we going to get them all? Are we going to go section by section?
Jocelyn, one of the combat mages, asked.
No, we're going to set off massive fire spells across the web and spread it throughout the housing complex. Once that is done, we're going to fight our way into the center of the web. Once there, we will electrify the web, zapping any of the spiders touching it, not giving them time to adapt to the lightning attacks, Josh said. Any and all electrical attacks must be held back until we start using them on the webs,
Kim stepped forward.
All other spells can be used. The spider's venom can be partially cured by healing potions. The venom causes you to lose health and mana, and to be paralyzed. Multiple hits stack the effects. Only cure poison potions can get rid of the full effects. With the health potion, you will stop losing health from the poison, and you will not become paralyzed, but you will continue to lose mana. All mages will be given a supply of cure poison. Melee fighters, you'll get one extra cure poison per person. My support people will have additional cure poisons, Lucy said. We're going to hit with the mages first. Then we're going to have them fall back behind the melee fighters once the spiders show themselves.
Scouts and sneak types, you will be their bodyguards. Any of the spiders getting past the melee fighters, you take them out before they get to the mages. We're going to plow through all the way to the center of the web. Support, focus on the fire mages' buffs so that they can burn these bastards down, and on the mages so that we don't get steamrolled, Josh said. Stone Raiders started checking their gear and looking to one another. They had done this plenty of times. Now they were just figuring out what they needed to deal with for these different enemies. Dwayne is over there right now. We're going to rotate parties through to keep watch of the cleared-out sections of the housing complex. I want everyone good to go in 2 hours. Log off and log back on if you're not knee-head yet, so you get a full day of game time. Headset VRs enforced a logout on everyone who used them for more than 8 hours. A number of aspiring entrepreneurs had made full-body VR pods that would look after a person's bodily needs and keep them in shape and good health while they played. There was no forced logout after 8 hours, but rather after weeks, where doctors would check on users before they went back into VR. These places were populated by E-heads, but getting into a facility was expensive. The Stone Raiders, with their streams and the goods that they were selling, were able to meet the costs of these pods. Many of them were just a few feet from one another in real life. The Stone Raiders took Josh's last words as their dismissal. Parties moved away to talk to one another, and then the different groups that they would be fighting with for the raid. Others walked over to the board that showed the different positions that the forces were supposed to take, or looked at it through their linked interfaces.
"Well, I guess I'm going to take a nap."
Dave stood and stretched.
"That does sound nice."
Dia looked to Nduka and Susie.
"Please keep it down, will you two?"
"What are you talking about? Have you heard you two going at it? I certainly have."
Nduka grinned and looked at Dia.
"What are you looking at me for?"
Dave complained, as Dia shot him a look.
"I didn't start this." "Well, I don't think I did."
"I just want to take a damn nap."
"You better.
I swear, if you go off to one of those dwarven conferences and spend the whole time messing around with your new projects, you still get me as a comfortable body pillow."
Dave smiled and pulled her close as they headed off toward their apartment.
"You think I just want you for a comfortable body pillow?"
"A good-looking body pillow,"
Dave said with a roguish wink. She smacked his chest, and their hands snaked together.
"Time to get up," Susie said.
"Come on, I just fell asleep."
Nduka rolled over and pulled the sheets over her head to block out the light coming in from the now open curtains.
"Guild's orders, lazy butt."
"You like my butt."
"Yeah, and the person attached to it is lazy as hell."
Susie jumped on the bed, sitting on Nduka's butt.
"See, now I can't get up, even if I wanted to."
Nduka purred with a pleased smile.
"Up you get."
Susie's fingers found Induka's sides. Nduka laughed and bucked, trying to get away from Susie's terrorizing hands. Finally, she rolled Susie over, now the one on top.
"Look, you're up,"
Susie laughed. A cruel smile passed over Induka's face as Susie's eyes went wide.
"Don't even think about it. It's only fair."
Induka's fingers tickled Susie's sides, making her squeal as it was her turn to try to get away from Induka's tickling torture. Finally, Nduka gave up, pinning Susie's hands back and slowly kissed her bare stomach.
"We've got a raid to do,"
Susie pouted, looking at Nduka. Nduka pressed her thigh forward between Susie's legs as she moved her mouth beside Susie's ear.
"That's a shame."
The heat built between Induka's legs as she kissed down Susie's neck.
"Stop,"
Susie stuttered, her enjoyment of the moment warring with their responsibilities. Her legs and hips moved on their own, her body wanting more of Induka's attention.
"Well, now we have something to look forward to later."
Nduka nibbled Susie's earlobe, her tongue flickering over her ear, before she gave Susie a quick kiss. She rolled off the bed, now truly awake, with longing in her loins as she pulled her clothes on.
Damn. I was the one waking you up, and now I want to stay in bed all day.
Susie pushed off the bed.
Well, you'll just have to find the proper way to motivate someone after they wake up.
Nduka winked and pulled her pants on. Susie slapped Nduka's butt and then pulled it tight to her. Her hand snaked down the front of her pants. Her fingers stroked through Nduka's panties, finding them damp. Nduka made to return the favor. Susie slipped away, licking her fingers.
Seems someone is very awake.
Nduka smiled, changing out of her sleeping shirt and stretching like a cat so that Susie could take in the full view of her curves before she pulled on her underclothes and armor.
I am so happy that I took this assignment from Grandmother,
Nduka purred, kissing Susie.
Who is your grandmother? The Lady of Fire. She made Dinur and all of the dragons.
So what did she send you and Malsor here for?
Well, it was supposed to just be one of the fire dragons. I was excited to meet her daughter, and I wanted to go see the world. Malsor just kind of tagged along, mostly because I went to sleep for so long that I'm not the strongest of the dragons. And, well, he has a soft spot for me.
Nduka gave a wide smile as she pulled on her leather armor and cape and took out a staff she had looted. Her daughter? The Lady of Fire has a daughter? What would that make her? Like some kind of demigod? Susie asked. Why are you still with us? Shouldn't you be with her?
I've said more than I was supposed to.
Nduka realized too late what she had revealed. But then, the only person we know who has... Nduka could only wince as Susie put the pieces together.
She's too smart for her own good, but I love her for it. You're telling me Dia is the daughter of the Lady of Fire?
Susie hissed, lowering her voice as if Dia could hear her from her room with Dave.
Well,
Nduka scratched her head. In the end, she couldn't lie to Susie, and she had all the key points anyway.
Yeah, but you can't tell her. Why not? 'Cause Grandmother should be the one to do it. I was going to watch over her to make sure that she had good control of her gifts. Then we became friends, and all of this happened. The Lady of Fire doesn't mind, but having people know that you have a kid when the Pantheon is filled with people who would do anything in order to get some more power over you, I don't think it's exactly something she wants to broadcast to the whole world. But this is Dia. She deserves to know who her mother is,
Susie hissed.
Look, if we go to Perouche after this, then we can set up another meeting between the two of them. I know that they met before, but it wasn't the best time.
Nduka winced at Susie's glare. They met before and the Lady of Fire didn't say anything?
Well, she has only loved one person, that person being Dia's father. She didn't want to draw attention to them both, especially as she knew that Dia was going off to fight at Boronal's Citadel in just a few short weeks.
Ugh, Susie groaned, flopping onto the bed. There was a knock at the door.
You two coming? Dia and the others are waiting for us down in the teleport room,
Dave yelled through the door.
We're coming! Keep your armor on, Susie yelled back. After we're done here, we're going to Perouche. Then the two of them can have a much-needed talk.
Susie looked to Nduka.
I want the same thing.
Nduka smiled.
Why is this place so darned complicated?
Susie stood up.
Makes things more fun.
Nduka squeezed Susie's hand. She gave a reassuring squeeze back as they walked to the door. It opened before them, showing Dave flipping his conjuring rods.
Let's go clear out that final housing complex, he declared, turning and heading for the lifts.
Going on a raid, we're going on a raid,
Dave hummed along his tune as he met up with the rest of the party. Already the teleport pad was working, linking the city with the housing complex. Dave smiled, seeing everyone ready.
Shall we? Dia asked.
After you, m'lady.
Dave bowed and waved for her to go ahead.
Why, aren't you the most chivalrous of men?
Only the best for my girl. Dave walked beside her. The rest of the party followed, combining with the other parties heading through the door. As soon as they were through the teleport pad, the atmosphere seemed to change, going from joking and playful to serious, as everyone moved into their different groups, broken down by class.
Look after yourself and remember to work on your two-handed and one-handed, Dia said, as they moved apart for their different groups.
I'll do my best, Dave said, being pulled in for a quick kiss.
They just looked into each other's eyes for a few moments, no words needed to express what they were feeling.
Let's go burn some spiders, Dave smiled.
Look after him, she said to Anna and Steve, who waited for Dave off to the side.
Ah, he'll be fine. His head is harder than mine, Steve grinned.
I'll do my best. You know how he is, Anna said. Indeed I do. Don't make things harder for Anna.
Thanks for the faith, he said sarcastically, walking over to the others.
They grouped up and headed to join the front lines.
Dave wasn't the best fighter, but with his passive skills and his conjuring ability, he could overcome this weakness.
The other Stone Raiders, Anna and Dia, were looking to turn his decent fighting skills into something that could be truly terrifying.
It's good to have friends like these.
Anna was their best fighter by far. It never seemed difficult for her in a fight. Steve had all of the gadgets Dave had given him, and was so big and armored that he was a moving tank. The three of them would make the tip of the formation, with Dwayne and Essa beside them. It wasn't long until the teleport pad to the city closed. The housing complex became darker and more foreboding.
Let's move out, Josh called.
The Stone Raiders moved forward. Dave conjured a shield and a sword, as he looked for anything that might try to kill him. Dwayne and Essa did the same. Anna held her greatsword over her shoulder, while Steve deployed his left forearm shield, his axe also resting on his shoulder.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work we go, Steve said.
That is just offensive to dwarves everywhere, Dave said in an offended tone. Silence reigned for perhaps 2 seconds before the two of them chuckled, breaking the ominous mood of their advance somewhat.
Chapter 9. Fire and Lightning.
I'm melting, Steve said, as the fire mages blasted through the webs.
Flames flew down the webs, making them shrink as they lit the housing complex. The webs closest to the fire mages had been burned away. They were advancing from the lowest level of the housing complex, where several teleport pads were located. They worked their way up a large hallway that had different working and living areas off to either side, before they entered the housing complex proper, that split off to the left and right into different living areas, identical to the wing that the Stone Raiders were advancing up. The other wing's teleport pads were covered in webs already. The center of the spider's web was located in the middle of the housing complex.
Smartass! Dwayne coughed. Move forward! You're a massive metal man, not the freaking abominable snowman, Dave said.
You say something, Dwayne? Steve said, ignoring Dave's facts.
Move forward? You getting deaf in your old age, Steve?
Jackass!
Steve coughed.
Say something, Steve?
No, just an itch in my throat.
Dude, you're a 14-foot-tall metal man. You don't have a throat, Dave said.
Aw, come on. Dwayne was about to believe me, Steve complained,
swinging his axe lazily as he cut through a bunch of web strands that had melted together. The fire mages were in the lead, Induka and Dia out front. Elementals ranged far ahead, spreading out and spraying fire everywhere. They marched through what had been webs. At first, the spiders had charged the fire mages, being burned down in the dozens. The survivors had retreated back up their webs and hadn't shown themselves for some time. Dave shifted the sword in his grip. The hairs on the back of his neck were straight up, as if he was being stalked by a hungry wolf. The melee fighters walked on either side of the fire mages,
everyone watching for more of the red eyes. Dave extended out his touch of the land. He could pick up a lot of the housing complex, but the place was massive. The webs, heat, and all of the stone raiders made it hard to see where the spiders were hiding. Instead, he limited himself to focusing on the 100 meters ahead of the mages, looking for any signs of the spider horde's return. Flames had reached the center of the web. With elementals burning everything they could, about half of the web had been set on fire. More started to burn every second. Elementals were set upon by spiders here and there.
"What are you seeing?"
Dwayne kept his voice low as he stood at Dave's side.
"Got a shit ton of spiders, but they're..."
Just then, Dave sensed something that he had thought was just a thick part of the web shifting.
"I think the queen just woke up."
"Why does that not sound good at all?"
Dave didn't say anything, but continued to walk as he watched the queen and her minions. Hundreds of spiders turned from the queen and headed for the stone raiders.
"They're coming," Dave said.
"Ready yourselves, fire mages. As soon as it looks like the spiders have a resistance to your fire, pull back and start using fire elementals if you have them. Fighters, you better be ready,"
Dwayne bellowed.
"Archers, get those arrows out. Mages, remember, only use spells if you must. We don't want them building up resistances before we even get to the center,"
Kim yelled.
"Protect the mages, boys and girls,"
Josh followed with after.
"You know your jobs. Jules, you're in charge of medical. Get those buffs ready. Dave, tell us when they're within 100 meters.
Lucy called out.
"Woo-hoo. Human radar."
Dave licked his dry lips, his words half-hearted.
"You're half-dwarf,"
Anna said. "Only on my good days."
Dave moved his shoulders and arms, loosening them up as he checked to make sure his hood was up.
"They're within 100 meters, Dave yelled out.
He couldn't count all of the spiders that rushed them. His dwarven eyes could make out their glowing red ones in the darkness. It was enough for him to get his analyze skill working. Mana-permeated spider hatchling. Level 78. Mana-permeated spider worker. Level 103. Dave was close enough to Dia and Induka that he could influence their spells. He used his touch of the land on their spells, using his spell formation skill to alter their attacks, making them more powerful as they focused on not only clearing out the webs, but also the spiders that were now charging them from all sides. Dave didn't see it, but his wrists, where his tattoos lay, glowed while his gray eyes lit up like twin searchlights. The spiders announced their presence with their angry chittering to one another. The spiders were a furry and chitin-covered wave as they were slowed, the living crawling over the dead. More of them learned how to resist the fire attacks as they climbed over their fallen brothers and sisters. The spiders screamed and squealed, collapsing in on themselves like ants under a magnifying glass. The fire mages slowed their advance.
"Fighters, pick up the pace! Cover the fire mages!" Dwayne yelled.
Dave and the others moved out around the fire mages. Spiders rushed toward them as the fire mages focused on the spiders coming in from above. Spiders started to sprout arrows as the archers took aim over their heads. Others gained bolts, using the bolt throwers that Josh had bought from the Aleph, and armed anyone who didn't have the skills for archery. Dave created a spear in his right hand, expanding his shield out to cover his entire body. Shields came together to cover one another's weak spots. Buffs started strengthening the fighters, different auras covering them, as the support mages went to work.
"Brace!"
Dwayne's voice cut through the spiders' screams. The spiders slammed into their shields. Their legs pulled at the shields, trying to get to those who were hiding behind them. Dave stabbed forward with his spear. It came back with orange ichor.
"Hold!"
Dwayne's voice carried over the battlefield. Fire, arrows, and bolts continued to fly overhead. Dave grunted, holding his ground. The fighters' weapons flashed forward, stabbing into the spiders' ranks. Finally, the spiders and the Stone Raider fighters came to a standstill.
"Come on, Stone Raiders! Forward!"
Dwayne called out. Dave changed his spear for a sword and slammed his shield forward. With his newfound strength, he turned two spiders into mush, cutting through two more with a swing. His shield turned into a halberd, catching a spider trying to jump over him and tearing through them. Dave dodged to the side. His sword lashed out and caught a spider hatchling in the face, cutting it in two. His sword and halberd changed into a great sword as he swung, cutting three spiders back. Slowly, the Stone Raiders moved forward. Here and there, spiders got through the fighters' lines, only to be dealt with by those behind them.
"Send out elementals! The spiders' fire resistance is too high!"
Kim's voice came over the guild chat. The fire attacks reduced, and mages changed to their bolt throwers or bows. Those with a high enough level and the mana left spawned fire elementals. They sped away from the Stone Raiders, looking for any web that had not been melted into the conductive strands that the Stone Raiders' plans depended on.
"We've got bigger spiders coming!" Dave called out, as he saw another wave of the spiders coming in behind the rear of the first.
"Prepare to brace!" Dwayne called out. The fighters adjusted their stances, but kept on moving forward, cutting down anything in their path. The spiders weren't hard to kill, but their sheer numbers meant that the Stone Raiders had to work together or be overrun by them. Dave altered his greatsword, mimicking Anna's blade. Weaker air blades stretched from its edge, cutting into the spiders and making the floor slick with their ichor. A mana bolt hit Steve's shield.
"Spider mages and fighters!
All over 150, Lucy called out. "Well, this just got more interesting."
Dave talked to himself as spiders started throwing mana bolts. Blue lines of mana surged across the spiders as they hit the Stone Raiders guild members at the front. New buffs fell on the melee fighters, increasing their magical resistance.
"The spiders have a poison in their fangs. It reduces mana pool size and regeneration," Kim warned.
"Fighters coming in," Dave said to Dwayne.
The bigger spiders walked over their smaller brethren. These ones didn't have the simple legs of the workers and hatchlings. These ones had twin side legs as big as a short sword, and fangs as large as daggers. Along their weapon-like legs, there were lines of mana tracing through them, and along their edges.
"Brace!"
Dwayne called out. Shields slammed down. Stone Raiders looked to protect one another as their weapons continued to lash out at their eight-limbed enemies. The dwarves' training paid off as the Stone Raiders worked like a dwarven shield wall, tirelessly holding their shield wall as their swords or spears darted out to attack. The ranged Stone Raiders firing over them to slim the spiders' numbers. The spiders' forward momentum was halted. The two forces stuck in tight quarters. The spiders spat mana ichor and bolts, the fighters' weapons highly effective against magical barriers and enchanted weapons, draining them of power.
"They're breaking through our barriers!" Dwayne yelled.
"We're giving you everything we've got!"
Kim said through clenched teeth. Dave felt it more than saw it, as the Stone Raiders started to lose their momentum. Mana barriers failed, armor and weapons dissolving as the venom made it through, reducing its durability and armor value.
"Clean the shields!" Lucy ordered.
Her support people moved to do what they could to help those whose shields had been affected.
"Support the mana barriers!"
Kim yelled. Spells were called out, coming together in a large barrier that allowed living creatures through, but only attacks outward. Buffs and supporting spells were forgotten in the face of defense. The venom hit the barrier, falling to the floor and dissolving it.
Guys, the spiders are on the roof, Steve said.
Ranged! Get those bastards!
Dwayne yelled out. Spiders that couldn't make it to the front were scuttling up the walls and moving to the ceiling, firing their mana bolts, trying to get close enough to use their powerful venom. Spider fighters rushed through the mana barrier, climbing over or crushing their brethren to engage the Stone Raiders. Now they weren't spitting that much, but they were at point-blank range, and could use their fangs and forward-cutting legs.
"Acid and venom resistance buffs!" Lucy called out.
The Stone Raider's armor started to bubble and melt. A few panicked, but most took the pain on instead of screwing over their friends.
"We're 3/4 of the way there!" Josh yelled.
The Stone Raiders took heart in this, as the support mages buffed and healed like no tomorrow. The stealth types and scouts worked to kill the ever-growing amount of spiders that leapt from the walls and ceiling, or climbed over one another and the Stone Raider front lines. Kim's mages were openly using their attacks to make sure they wouldn't be overrun. Dave felt the battle changing. They were no longer moving forward. They were at a standstill. They had the skill and the organization, though the numbers that the spiders had, and their skill set, made it near impossible.
"Josh, we need to go with Plan B, and soon," Dwayne said.
Hearing those words, Dave conjured a bow with his rods, drawing and releasing arrow after arrow. It was hard to miss the spiders that seemed to crawl over every surface, charging forward without a care for their livelihood. They only cared to destroy those that had entered their territory.
"All right, Shard, your people ready?"
"Ready to go," Shard's voice said from overhead.
"Tell me when you need us to move,"
Dwayne said.
"Starting the charge," Shard said.
"Artillery spells ready,"
Kim yelled. Mages moved into groups, working together as everyone else worked to cover them and their work. Balls and runes of energy started to make the very air in the large hall they were in shimmer.
"Fighters, be ready to split," Dwayne called out.
The Stone Raiders' fighters used any buffs they had remaining, wasting their stamina in order to keep the spiders back for just a few more seconds. Dave felt the floor vibrate beneath his feet, as if he stood in front of heavy cavalry.
"Coming through," Shard called out. "Split!" Dwayne yelled.
The Stone Raiders' front line pulled back to opposite sides. The spiders that had been so tightly packed before spilled out into the now open corridor, right through into the Stone Raiders' group. They turned, ready to rip them apart from the inside.
"Fire!"
At Kim's command, artillery spells that the spiders hadn't been able to build up resistances to yet drove through the opened area one after another, cleaving a path through the spiders and down the hallway. As the last spell hit, flashes of silver and steel rushed past the Stone Raiders' front line. 14 behemoths charged through the spiders with abandon. The spiders fell into the opened corridor, closing in behind the charging automatons.
"Reform!"
Dwayne yelled. Dave and Steve stepped up next to each other again. Dave watched as the behemoths used their mass and speed to crash through the spiders. The spiders fell on the behemoths, their venom making the automaton's armor bubble and dissolve. Dave winced as the first went down. Another fell, and then another. Spiders that Dave felt through his touch of the land spell left the center of the web, charging forwards. They were almost 3 times the size of the spider fighters. The massive spiders slammed into behemoths, tackling them to the ground as their limbs tore into them.
"Shit,
our behemoths aren't going to be able to get to the center of the web," Dave thought to himself. There was nothing he or anyone else could do. There were too many spiders. They were low on mana and stamina. Their confidence with their other battles had made them confident. And now Amarillo was showing them once again to never underestimate their enemies.
"Pull back!" Dwayne said.
The Stone Raiders did so, giving them some room to move and fight for a few seconds. The spiders filled it in and hammered on their shields within seconds. Before, the spiders seemed to attack with some kind of sense and tactics. Now, they were in a frenzy. Stone Raiders cried out, falling to the spiders' attacks. Some screamed as fighters tore them from their positions in the line. The mana barrier spell failed as the front lines turned into chaos. The behemoths that had been taken down ignited their mana cores, tearing holes through the spider ranks around them. Dave held his hands out, trying to balance himself, watching in horror
as unstable stone raiders were taken down by tens of spiders.
Pull from the soul gems! Pull back to the teleport pad!
Josh yelled. It was clear that they had lost this fight.
POEs! Get a move on!
Lucy barked.
To the Bat Cave! Steve yelled.
Josh's brain seemed to short-circuit before shaking his head and glaring at Steve.
How could I resist?
Steve said, smacking spiderlings back with his axe. The players could come back, but the POEs weren't as lucky. They turned and ran back, thinning out the Stone Raiders.
Queen's Knights!
A scout called out as the corridor shook. The massive spiders had taken down the last of the behemoths and now charged the Stone Raiders' lines. They were so large that only three of them could fit in the hall.
Damn bastard spat on me!
Steve yelled out as venom hit his body. There wasn't time to reply. Everyone was using whatever spells and weapons they had to try to stave off the spiders for just a few more minutes as they pulled back towards the teleport pad. Anna's air blades cut lines in the ceiling, but the spiders moved so fast that she couldn't stop them. Red traces of fire-imbued arrows hit spiders, exploding on impact. Dia's hands moving in a blur as she moved from target to target.
Lox! Gurren! Get out of here!
Dia yelled.
We're not leaving without you!
Lox barked back, grunting as he stopped the spider knight's charge with his shield. Gurren leaned over, cutting off the spider's leg, yelling as he stabbed into its head.
We're staying right here,
Malsor said, speaking for himself and Induka, spears of metal taking a dozen spiders down from the walls. Induka floated up, taking a deep breath. As she released it, flames rushed forth, turning the walls red hot, causing the stone to crack and explode here and there with the overwhelming heat. Knowing it was a failing argument, Dia focused on firing her arrows instead, as they pulled back. The spiders didn't give them time to catch their breath, as they continued to hammer on their shields, pulling them open in places and attacking the raiders behind. Dave stepped over stone raider bodies as he cut, slashed, and stabbed at the writhing mass of spiders in front of him. Make sure you're not touching any of the webs, Shard said. Dave checked around him.
Big step back when Shard says so,
Dwayne said. Dave tensed himself at Shard's words. Jump back now, Shard yelled to all of the Stone Raiders. They rushed backwards, everyone making sure that they weren't touching a part of the web. Three remaining behemoths destroyed the soul gems that supported their cores, converting it into lightning mana. Lightning ran through the now conductive webs and rushed through the hallways, right through the spiders. Electricity arced through the webs, causing the spiders to fry from the inside out. Some even exploded and painted the walls blue. Dave winced at the noises the spiders made as they died in the thousands. It lasted for a few seconds, but the spiders around the Stone Raiders were either stunned or dead.
To the teleport pad! Josh barked.
The Stone Raiders turned and ran. The behemoths hadn't even made it to the center of the web, and they'd only been able to burn around 20% of the webbing that made up the spiders' territory to make it conductive. Spider screams cut through the halls as the facility seemed to shake with thousands of legs rushing to meet the intruders. Dave glanced backwards. Past Steve, he could see the spider knights that had been advancing were now rushing forwards. Smoke rose from some of their bodies, but their injuries only seemed to enrage them more. They got to the active teleport pad, rushing through as fast as possible. Dave made it through, moving out of the path of the pad's event horizon as more people charged through.
Make sure none of them make it through, Lucy yelled.
Those that had made it through now faced the event horizon, watching as spiders covered the walls, floor, and roof of the housing complex they had been in. They were like a living sea.
Well, that's nightmare fuel,
Steve shivered.
Come on,
One of the Stone Raiders yelled to the last members who were running with all their might for the teleport pad. The Stone Raiders yelled out their encouragement. Ranged attackers fired spells or weapons through the teleport pad to support them. The last three made it to the teleport pad just as a Spider Knight jumped through the teleport pad and into the tower, crushing one of the last Stone Raiders.
"Shut the teleport pad!" Josh yelled.
Spiderlings rushed in, and a few fighters, before the teleport closed, cutting some of the creatures in half.
"Focus on the small spiders first,"
Dwayne yelled. Using their soul gems, the mages supported the melee types as they charged forward to greet the spiders that made it into their base. The fighting was furious and desperate. The knight's limbs hit hard enough to throw the unlucky Stone Raiders that found themselves in its path. The fighters and spiderlings were quickly killed off.
"Focus on the Spider Knight! Speed and strength debuffs!"
Josh said, as he appeared behind the spider, his blades cutting deep into the spider. All of the guild was focused on the Spider Knight. It was so large that hitting anything vital was hard. Rogues and assassins flittered around behind it. Mages threw down debuffs on the spiders, while healing their fellow Stone Raiders as they could. Support pulled out fighters that had been too wounded or tossed by the spider. As one melee fighter was thrown or pushed down, another took their spot. Steve cut through the spider's leg like a lumberjack cutting through a tree trunk. The knight's eyes turned to focus on Steve as it let out a pained screech.
"Damn thing's a tank!" Dwayne yelled.
"No, you don't,"
Steve barked. It was one of the few times Dave had seen the large metal man being serious. The Spider Knight slammed a leg down on top of Steve. Steve stopped the spider's leg with his axe, his metal body groaning with strain as the floor cracked beneath him. The spider's attention was all on Steve as more limbs came in from either side.
"Wah!"
Lox and Gurren yelled out, bracing themselves and their shields, stopping the twin mana-imbued side legs that were meant to tear Steve apart. Rage built within Dave. He was too weak to do what they were doing. Any help he provided would be in the way. He called on his mana reserves, draining out from his armor. With the venom and mana bolts, he was dangerously low on mana. His bow came apart as he held his twin rods in his hands. He planted his feet. The engraved runes along his skin started to glow as gray circles holding runes formed in front of Dave's hands, connecting to the rods. Another magical circle formed under his feet. Identical magical circles formed on Gurren and Lox's shields, while a circle appeared under Steve's legs. Through the magical circles, he boosted their strength and agility, reducing the strain on them. They pushed the spider back. The Spider Knight, alarmed at their small creature's ability to push it back, let out a screech of anger. Even as it was hit with different spells and weapons, Gurren, Lox, and Steve had earned its aggro. It spat out a glob of mana-infused venom right at Gurren, Lox, and Steve. Panic and fear ran through Dave as he felt cold fear grip his body. Time seemed to slow as his higher intelligence focused on one thing, saving his friends. His mind was under such strain from fighting, amplifying people's spells and barriers, that he wasn't sure that he could properly form a complex spell. Definitely not a spell that could stop the mana venom. Dave let out a wordless yell as Gurren, Lox, and Steve seemed to move in slow motion as they covered themselves with their shields, trying to overlap their coverage with one another. Even facing their demise, they were protecting one another. Mana seemed to surge through the air. It was familiar as it was powerful. Dia's fuel air bomb! The thought raced through Dave's mind. Dia's spell ignited the air before the trio. Dave added in what weak amplification he could. Anna fed it more air and helped direct it, and Induka followed it up with another if the first didn't work. Time seemed to come back to normal. The first fuel air bomb spell went off,
The very air in the room seemed to explode, as pressure built up and released faster than Dave could comprehend. The pressure wave of the fuel air bomb pushed the venom back in the direction it had come from. The second, from Induka, was much more focused. Where the venom's forward momentum was stopped by Dia's attack, Induka's turned it into a lance back at the spider knight. The accelerating venom hit the knight, piercing its carapace. It screamed out in pain. While it had made the venom, it had stayed in venom sacs, never being ingested. The mana-imbued venom tore at mana constructs, working on a creature that had spent so much time around mana that it had become part of its physiology. The spider knight's health plummeted. Some of the venom hit stone raiders, but it was nowhere as concentrated as it was before. They moved back as the knight spasmed, hitting and killing people out of accident, rather than in any kind of coordinated attack. It took it nearly a full minute before it collapsed to the ground, its hit points finally reaching zero, speaking to its massive health pool. Josh stabbed the creature, making sure that it was indeed dead. "Check your wounds. Badly wounded to waypoint 1. Anyone poisoned or burned by venom to waypoint 2? Jules called out. Two new waypoints appeared on the minimap, as the supporting stone raiders looked to their guildmates. Gurren, Lox, and Steve sat down on the ground where they stood. After a few moments, the three of them started laughing and shaking their fists in the air. They knew how close they had been to death. Dave felt as if his guts uncoiled as he stumbled slightly, the strain of his low stamina and mana pool making him feel lightheaded and nauseous. "You good?" Dwayne looked Dave over for burns and signs of wounds. "Good." Dave had slight cuts on his arms and legs, but nothing that was life-threatening. Dave looked over Dwayne. "You feeling okay?" "Yeah." Dwayne shook his head. "Damn, that was one hell of a raid. Damn risky. If we didn't have those behemoths, I don't know if we could have held off all those spiders." Dave tapped him on the shoulder. "I don't see any wounds. You're good." "Yeah." Dave hooked his rods onto his hips and pulled his hood down. He was covered in sweat, his arms heavy from the constant fighting. "If the rest of the spiders got here, we would have been fucked." "There were more of them?" Dwayne asked. "This was just the tip of the iceberg." Dave waved to the spiders that filled the control room and the housing complex that had been on the other side of the teleport pad. "How many more were there?" Dwayne's voice dropped so no one else could hear. "You don't want to know." Dave shook his head to try to forget the number of spiders that littered the housing complex's hallways. "Do you have any ideas of how to deal with them?" Dwayne asked. Dave thought about it for a moment, looking at the spider knight. "Smoke them out," Dave said seriously, looking to Dwayne. "Dave, honey, how are you?" Dia asked, moving to Dave's side to check him over. "I'm fine. Are you okay?" Dave said, studying her for injuries. "I'm okay," Dia said with a weak smile. It was clear that the spiders had put the love of creepy crawlies into her. "Quick thinking with that spell," Dave said. "I didn't know if I could make it work," Dia admitted, running a shaky hand through her hair. "It was a close call," Dwayne agreed, looking around at everyone. Stone raiders were sprawled over the ground. Wounded were being carried to the different waypoints as others recovered from their ordeal. "If we can help it, I don't want to have to go into that housing complex again. If you figure out some way to clear out those spiders, let me know. I'm going to check on if anyone got permed," Dwayne said, his tone sad. Permed was a term that the Stone Raiders used when talking about POEs that died. Unlike the players, there was no coming back from death for them. Dave and Dia nodded to Dwayne, not jealous of his job. He wandered away. Dave put an arm around Dia, the two of them looking over the battlefield that the control room had turned into. If Dia and the rest of Party Zero wasn't there, then Gurren, Lox, and Steve might not have made it.
I've been focused on increasing my own strength to protect everyone instead of realizing their strengths.
Josh sat down heavily, looking to his lieutenants and Dave. He hadn't washed since going to the housing complex filled with